We need not have any other gods before Jesus Christ. Amen. He is to be first and foremost. Hallelujah. It's amazing that that's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before you. Amen. There is only one God, and we know his name. Amen. He has revealed it to his people, and we can apply that name into our lives and have the power that it brings us. Amen. There's power in that name. You don't just have a name of a company or a kingdom. You have the name of the creator of all heaven and earth. Amen. At your disposal, you can use the name of Jesus and apply it into circumstances in your life, and God can fix it by the power of his name. Amen. When you speak that name, there's power. Amen. There's power to heal, power to deliver, power to set people free. Amen. Power in the name of Jesus. I'm so thankful in my life that I know that I've known the name of Jesus. It saved me many times. We defined who God was, and now let's look at not putting any other gods before him. We know who God is. We know he's one. Anybody okay with that? Anybody struggling with that? You don't understand who God is? Amen. His name, his being, he is one. There are not many Godheads. Amen. There is only one deity. His name is Jesus. There are some that say that it's okay to baptize using the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and in Jesus' name. Anybody ever run into that? Is that okay? No. That's not okay. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost to the denominal world, oops, is a god to them. That's who they call their God. They call him Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. They pray to the Father, they pray to the Son, they pray to the Holy Spirit as a deity, as a God, and to put that before Jesus Christ, the God, the Creator, the All-Knowing, the Omnipotent, the Omnipresent, Almighty, is putting other gods before him. So no, that is not acceptable. Amen. There is only one name that applies in baptism. Acts 4:12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How much plainer can we get? How much more do we need to spell it out to get you to understand, to get this world to understand that his name is Jesus? And by that power, in that name, it'll set you free from your sin. Amen. It won't keep you in your sin. The saving name of Jesus takes you out of your sin. We're to come out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. I'm so glad that I didn't just keep going the way I was. Amen. I'm so glad that I just didn't still exist where I used to be. Amen. What I used to do or what I used to say. Praise God. But God has taken me out of sin. So since Father is not a name and Son is not a name and Holy Ghost is not a name, in the Trinitarian faith, they are considered names that are equal to Jesus. The only name that is legally binding is Jesus' name. Anything else is putting another name in the place of God's name. Those that believe that these titles are his name, first of all, are not grammatically sound. They got their grammar, Brother Mark.
It just hit me out of the blue that sinners far and wide understand the oneness of God, I think, more than good Christian Trinitarians. Because they, God's first commandment, you know, well, God's commandment, don't use the name of the Lord in vain. You don't hear people on the street saying, Father! Or when they stub their toe, Son! Right. When they say the name.
Right. Very true. Yep, they say it very harshly, emphatic. And they're not afraid to speak the name. And we'll talk about that later on in our studies on another evening. But there's something about the name of Jesus, and we must understand as a people that the enemy has lied to people. The enemy has deceived people. The enemy has blinded the eyes of people to believe a doctrine that is false. And by applying these little questions, and that's how the devil's always worked. He's come up and he's put little doubts and little questions in the mind and little nuggets of just make you think, well, what if? When the truth is blatant, when the truth of the name of Jesus, of only one God, is written throughout the entirety of the book of that is of the scriptures, the Bible. You can read hundreds of scriptures that says there's only one God. Amen? That speak of finding a name to this God. In the Old Testament, it was a secret who the name was. What was the prophets wouldn't die until they saw. They long to see Jehovah, their Savior, for that name to be revealed. And when it happened, it was pretty extravagant. Angels appeared to proclaim the name of Jesus to everyone. Amen. So it is important to know that there is no other name that can save you. Don't listen to the lies to say that, well, this will probably be okay. No. God was very, very minute in his plans when it came to saving things. Noah, build an ark. Build it this way. Do not depart from any way that I tell you. Build it exactly this way. God is very exact when it comes to his plan of salvation. And he wants it done exactly the way it says in the Word of God. Amen. Let the Word of God be the judge. Nothing else. Nothing else can take its place. If it doesn't say it there, then it's false. We must stand on that and believe that in our lives. The word Trinity is not even mentioned in the Bible. So that ought to clue us into that there's something fishy going on. The enemy's trying to slip one under everybody's feet and help them, you know, feel good about their salvation. There is only one God, and His name is Jesus. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." If you want to see God, you look at Jesus. All the fullness is dwelt in His body. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ. Exodus 23. So there's only one God, and we know His name. Amen. His name is Jesus. Don't have any other gods before Him. Exodus 23 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." None. Don't put anything before God. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by Him." So most Trinitarians, like you said, have it right. They speak His name often. They pray about everything else in the name. Like you said, they don't end their prayers all Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we praise You. They end their prayers in Jesus' name. So it's important that we understand and keep that mind in us, that we know there is none other. And no one else can ever convince us of any other God than the name, the one true and only Jesus Christ. Everything we do must be done in Christ's name, including baptism. Amen. You cannot be saved by any other way. You can't get into the kingdom by any other way. Jesus said that they are a thief and a robber that come any other way. There's only one name. And we must pray for people that are blinded to the truth of the name of Jesus Christ. You've got a loved one that you know needs baptized in Jesus' name. Pray that God will begin to open their eyes to see truth, that there is only one God and that His name is one, Jesus Christ. The first and second commandments are very similar. And one says that there are no other gods before Him. And the other says, "Do not make idols or graven images." Exodus 20:4-6 says, this is the second commandment, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. This is why I don't wear a cross around my neck. Or I don't hang one from my wall, you know, with Jesus hanging there. You know, I don't put those things and hold those things as precious to me. Because God is not hanging on the cross. Amen. That cross bared the weight of yours and my sins. That cross carried all the weight of the world. Amen. And that cross is done its job and it's over. Amen. He defeated death on that cross. Amen. This is why I don't put statues of angels in my flower beds or in my house to look over my house, or statues of the Mother Mary in my yard. I don't want to have any other thing before God, anything like in the likeness of it, of heaven or earth. Those things I don't need in my life. I need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. I need a prayer life. I need having a one-on-one walk with God, knowing the Creator and nothing else, not lifting up any other thing before God and bringing it up as a memorial or a, you know, a something that I hold highly, that I exalt. So we must be careful the things that we bring into our lives. Sister. Yes, that is so true. There are so many things, and we'll get into them. There's so many things that we can bring into our lives that puts things higher than God in our lives. Brings that priority into our lives. God needs to be the priority. Bar none. End of story. Amen. Make God the most important thing in our lives. Don't live your life as God is just another thing to do in your schedule of life. If that's the way you're living life, you need to change that. You need to redirect your lifestyle and put God in the big picture, and everything else you do as the minutes. God must be first. He won't accept anything else. He's a jealous God. It gets him nervous when you are taking other things and putting them in place of him and his glory, his mercy, his grace. God wants all of your attention. God said, don't worship anything but him. Don't let anything get in the way of your worship with him. This is why he sent his spirit to dwell in us. Jesus must always be first. That's why we can't never let the fire go out. Keep it burning. Keep that power and that anointing fresh in our lives. When it goes out, when it gets dim, it's because other things are creeping its way in and snuffing out the fire of God's presence. We allow, like Sister Kathy said, our phones, other things to creep in and steal our devotion, our time, our efforts into following other gods. My kids are not first. I love them. I'll do anything in the world for them. But God is first. God has to be first in my life. My spouse is not first. God is first. My job is not first. The motorcycle is not first. Some of us, you know, shine that chrome for hours to get it sparkling clean. And we rub that God and we get it all shiny and get it all just sparkling. It can't be first. My home is not first. My bank account, if there is any in it, is not first. Anything that we put before God, our relationship with God, we must reevaluate and see where God is in our life. Is he truly the center of it all? Or is, like I said earlier, is God on our checklist for the time this week that we spent with him? We rushed to church and got there just in time. And we checked that one off. Where is God in your priority? Where's God at in your world? Is he everything and everything else a check? We need to find out where God is in our priorities. This was a problem that stood in the way of the rich young ruler. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 27, it says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. I've been keeping the commandments. I'm just checking them off, man. God, I'm doing this and I'm doing that one. Everything's going good. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how heartily shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answering again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. This rich young man had something in his life that was more than God. He was doing a lot of good things. He all his life he was taking care of some things that he knew needed to happen. But something was off in his life. There was one thing that was not first in his life. His possessions meant more to him than God. His possessions ruled his life. Everything else was working. Everything else, man, the people probably thought, man, this is a great guy. This is a magnificent young man. Look at all he does. He follows the law, does all of these things. But Jesus says, one thing you're lacking. Where am I in the midst of your possessions? Are those more important than me? Following me, knowing Jesus Christ? See, it's impossible to have all of those things if our perspective is on Jesus Christ. God wants us to have riches. He wants to prosper you. That's why he says to give. Give. And it shall be given. He talks about the increase of our goods. You know, God wants to prosper us. God wants to make us good stewards. But we cannot place those things before God, because those things will not last. Those possessions, those fields, those things will pass away. But God in your life, there's going to be an eternity with him. We've got to get our perspective on God and have no other gods, no other images, no other things that come between us and God. What is coming between you and God right now? Let us examine ourselves. What other idols are creeping in? He said to make no idols. What are you giving your all to? What are you hoping for more than God? Jesus said to seek first the kingdom of God, heaven, and all of these things, properties, possessions, life, everything that surrounds us will be added unto us. So if God is first, then we'll have riches, then we'll be increased with goods.
Came to me.
Yeah, it's sobering, but very true. You can look all throughout Pentecost and look at churches that have paid the price of putting God first, bringing prayer as the main focus in their lives, praying round the clock, and revival breaking out, the move of God moving powerfully among them, great miracles happening, great signs and wonders happening. Amen. It's because a people determined that they were going to do just what Brother Pritt just said. Make God the focus. And everything else comes second place. What do we really want in life? What do we really desire in our lives that's going to matter when God splits that sky? Because that's going to happen. And that day, you're going to stand before God when you're holding on to that possession or that person or that family member that has kept you from putting God first, from giving it all to God and saying, I surrender all. God, you are my Lord. I want all of you. I want you to rule and reign in every aspect of my life. I cannot allow this to become an idol. I cannot allow this to become an image that I am worshiping. You know, you can worship something without clapping your hands and raising your hands to it. You know, actions speak louder than words. That's why I've said in the past, show me your checkbook. I'll show you what means more to you than anything. We can learn a lot about how we spend our finance. Who's God in your life? Where is God at in your finance? Where is God at, rich young ruler? One thing you lack, sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. We don't like to dwell on that too much because we love our possessions. We love our things. And I've had this discussion with people before, and I truly, honestly believe that God didn't want his fields and his farms and all of those things. God truly wanted him to put him first. And had he just made a step and said, I'll do it, the Lord probably would have said, that's okay. Great is your faith. Thank you. I see your heart, where your heart is. But the boy walked away sorrowful, having great possessions. And when he dies, someone else is going to have his great possessions. And he won't have any possession. I got a mansion in heaven. I'm going to be walking on streets of gold. The things that we cherish so much, we're going to walk on them in heaven. I mean, we don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about where we're headed. Walls of jasper. Amen. Riches untold. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. We haven't even entered the feeling of it. What heaven is going to be like. Being in the presence of his angels and his presence, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. the creator that can create universes. I mean, it's going to blow our minds what heaven's going to be like. And we're holding on to a field that we have to pay taxes on, that we have to mow, that we have to make sure it looks good, or the county guys will come out and say, you got to clean this place up. And we hold on to those things. Many of us will miss church functions because we have to take care of home things or things around the yard, or we got to get this done because our possession has hold on us and not our God as the most important thing. Everything else can wait. God, I'm putting you first in every way of my life. You have to be ruler, ruling and reigning in my life. Romans 1:16-25. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like the to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beast, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So whatever we set before us is taking place of our worship to God. Then it is a graven image or an idol that we worship, that we adore, that takes the place where God belongs. Though the commandment implies that the worship of Yahweh is not compatible with the worship of idols, the status of an individual as an idol worshiper or a Yahweh worshiper is not portrayed or predetermined and unchangeable in the Bible. So when the covenant is renewed under Joshua, Joshua 24:14, it says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Church, we're living in the last days. Jesus is getting ready to come. He's getting ready to come for the church, for his bride, to take us to live with him forever and ever. Amen. God is coming soon. We need to take a look at how much time we spend in service to God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Do some homework assignment this week. Survey your life and see who or what has preeminence in your life this week. Maybe get a notepad out and write down, how much time have I given to God this week? And where's my time going this week? Where does God fit in all of my day and all of my night? God must take place, because serving other gods doesn't start just, I'm serving someone else.
Yeah.
But it creeps in. We let down our guard a little here and a little there. And we'll do this. This will be all right one time. This won't hurt. And we let down our guard and we grow lax in our focus upon God. And we lose sight of where he has gone. And for we know it, we're in idol worship.
Right.
Allowing the things of the world to be in control in our life. Let's read a psalm attributed, as we close here tonight, to David, which describes the help someone may expect from pure devotion to Yahweh, to God. Giving your all to God. Psalms 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Salah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Salah. I pray that we can refocus our lives on God in our life, and that God becomes everything about our lives. And when you do that, everything in your life will begin to work more smoothly. The things of life will fall into place as they should. Let's stand.